Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you with my continuing coverage on the Baltimore Bridge collapse. We can't call it an accident. No, no one in the media in the United States is calling it an accident. It's an incident. It's a collision. It's a crash. It's a collapse. It's a tragedy. It's a calamity. It's a catastrophe, but it is certainly not an accident. And I've covered that in my previous videos. What I want to cover for you in this one is we are going to take a look at this. He looks so distraught. Now, this is a friend of one of the workers, and his name is Jesus or Jesus Campos, because you can always trust Jesus. And as you can see, this is the picture of devastation and despair. I'm going to cover that for you in just a moment. And we are also going to look at the only witness that I ever heard, and there has not been any coverage that I can come across in American media, but this comes from Sky News in the UK, and there is an eyewitness who recounts seeing the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Now, I would like you to tell me this jacket, if this is from some major sports team. I don't follow sports, so I don't know, but many of you had an eagle eye, so to speak, and pointed out the Ravens jackets on some of the other witnesses. So I'm going to be bringing you these two videos in just a moment. First, let me thank the sponsor of the show, and we are going over to Noble Gold Investments. I've been telling you all about noblegoldinvestments.com. You can call them for expert advice at 877-646-5347. It's the only gold company that I trust. And if investing has gotten you stressed, if you find it's too complicated, you certainly don't want to leave your money in the bank. It's basically losing value. Get it working for you. You can invest in precious metals with Noble Gold Investments. And I've got one to show you. I've got one other. Yeah, there you go. You can get a free quarter ounce gold standard coin if you qualify for their IRA. So call Noble Gold Investments or click on the link that I will have for you below, noblegoldinvestments.com. Keep it simple. You can't go wrong with precious metals. Gold is real. It's simple. It's always there for you. It's there through history's toughest times. Check this out. See if it's a good fit for you, noblegoldinvestments.com. Friends, we're going to start actually with this video here. This is an eyewitness from Sky News, and I'm going to play it for you. It's a very short video. I found it first here on X, and then I did find it also on Sky News as well. So let's play this here for you, and let me get into a full screen. There we go.
Seen that boat, and I was like, why are the lights flickering off and on? And I was like, oh, maybe they're playing hide and seek or something. And I said that the boat, it looked off because I've never seen a boat of that size, of a capacity, that close to the bridge like that. And I was like, something's going on. And when I got to the bottom of the bridge, I heard the explosion, seen the black smoke, and then I seen the boat hitting the bridge.
When you were coming over that bridge, did you notice construction workers?
They were to the right of me, and the next day I found out that they was filling in the potholes, because the potholes was horrible on that bridge. And you know, I kind of sped up coming over the bridge, because like I said, I've always been afraid of that bridge. But when I seen the construction workers, I slowed down, and when I noticed the boat, I picked up speed a little bit more.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for talking with us, Terry.
Seen that boat, and I was like,
all right, let's pause there for a moment. All right, friends, there are so many things that are troubling to me about this witness. Number one, we get her name, Terry. We don't really see her face. The camera is taking a picture of her, the video of her from the side. Why don't we get to see her face? She's got a baseball cap on, which is obscuring some of the features. We don't have an address. We don't have a city. We don't know the time of the day when this interview was taking place. This is such poor reporting, but apparently that passes for reporting these days. Just throw anything out there on the media and people will believe it. Why? Because they are gripped by their emotions. They are not thinking clearly. This was broadcast, I think, about almost a week ago. And it is amazing to me that no American media outlet that I can find picked it up. I could not find any other broadcast other than the UK. How did the UK find this witness? I would like to know. Let's go back and listen once more. I am going to interrupt and I'm going to give you some of my analysis here. And I would like to hear what you find and what you can see that is not making sense. All right, here we go.
Seeing that boat, and I was like, why are the lights flickering off and on? And I was like, oh, maybe they're playing hide and seek with.
They're playing hide and seek with someone? That comment doesn't even make sense. I also find it strange that somebody driving over a bridge, and she said she was speeding over the bridge because she was, it made her nervous driving on there. Number one, that she would notice it. Number two, that she would actually be able to recall that she was watching it so carefully that she saw the lights flicker on and off, playing hide and seek. That's strange.
Something. And I said that the boat, it looked off because I've never seen a boat of that size of a capacity that close to the bridge.
I've never seen a boat of that size of that capacity that close to the bridge. Now she starts to get a little flustered when she's trying to remember the script.
That, and I was like, something's going on. And when I got to the bottom of the bridge, I heard the explosion, seen the black smoke, and then I seen the boat.
I heard the explosion. Does she mean the crash? And then I saw the black smoke when I got to the bottom of the bridge. Did she turn around? I mean, did she literally turn her head around to look? How could she have seen that? Because going either direction, you wouldn't be facing that crash. You would have been driving away from it. So I find that a very strange recounting of the tale.
Hitting the bridge.
When you were coming over that bridge.
But it is interesting that she said she heard an explosion and then saw the smoke and then saw the ship hit the bridge. That is very strange. Let's hear that again.
You were coming over that bridge. Well, did you know?
Let me back it up just a little bit.
Hitting the bridge. I heard the explosion, seen the black smoke, and then I seen the boat hitting the bridge.
I heard an explosion.
Over that bridge, did you notice construction workers?
I did.
Okay, now she's being asked if she saw the construction workers, but she did say, I heard the explosion, I saw the black smoke, and then I saw that hit the bridge. Maybe that's why the American media doesn't want to cover it.
They were to the right of me.
Okay, now she's trying to remember the script, the question specifically. Did you see construction workers? And she fumbles a little bit. It could be that she's nervous. I want to play that again. It could be that she's trying to remember.
Workers.
They were to the right of me, and the next day I found out that they was filling in the potholes.
The next day I felt out. I guess she means I found out that they were filling in the potholes.
Potholes was horrible on that bridge. Horrible on that bridge, and you know I kind of sped up coming over the bridge because, like I said, I'm afraid. I've always been afraid of that bridge, but when I seen the construction workers, I slowed down and. When I noticed the boat, I picked up speed a little bit more.
Brilliant, thank you.
Okay, and the interviewer says, that's brilliant, thank you, as if, good job, you said what we needed you to say. It's so strange. Why isn't she looking into the camera? Why don't we get a full name? Why don't we get an address? Why don't we get an occupation? Who is there to verify that her story is even accurate? So these are the kinds of things, if I were arguing this, if I were the investigator, and we all are the investigators, these are the questions that we would be asking. All right, let's go now, and we are going to take a look at this very obviously distraught individual. He is a friend, he tells us, of one of the victims. So you can see he's just beside himself, and we'll hear exactly what happened. And we're going to go the friend of the missing bridge workers. Now, I don't watch Baltimore local news, but tell me what you think about this newscaster. Her demeanor, her delivery, is she feeling awkward, maybe trying to do a cover story? I can't figure it out, but it's a little bit odd to me. So let's hear what she has to say.
Tell you somebody who is probably thrilled to hear that one of the two people rescued has been released from shock trauma is Jesus Campos. And that explains why we haven't seen him around here. He kind of disappeared about an hour ago. I went to look for him to ask him some follow-up questions. He is the man that we've been speaking to today who works for Bronner Builders, the company that was contracted to have the work crew on the bridge today. He's been distraught. He said that is it was a 7-member crew.
He's so distraught, and he disappeared on her. She wanted to ask more questions, but he disappeared, and he was so distraught. Absolutely. It appears that she's distraught too, trying to keep the story going.
The one member that was rescued, he said, was in critical condition at the hospital, the last he knew. And he said the families of the other six of his friends, coworkers, and he called them family members at this point, their families were just sitting at home, he said, waiting for the call. So he's the one who gave us a lot of the details about this crew that was doing road work, pothole work, according to state officials. He said it's a job he's done before for the company. He believes their shift was 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., that they shut down parts of the roadway across the Key Bridge at 9 last night so that this work could take place.
Now, isn't that interesting that some of the portion of the road was closed down, so there would have been fewer people driving? And my savvy, sophisticated, healthy Americans pointed out that possibly that led to fewer fatalities and therefore fewer investigations by insurance companies, because certainly we don't want people poking around into what exactly did happen, do we?
And that this crew of seven was supposed to be, sorry, it's windy back here, was supposed to be on until 5 o'clock in the morning.
So now we're told it was a crew of seven. Previously, we were told it was a crew of eight, then a crew of six.
He told us at the time of the collapse, they were on a 30-minute break, which is standard.
30 minutes, of course. And how would he know?
It's how they operate. And that what they do on a break is they take their breaks in their cars. Pickup trucks, actually, he said there would have been four of them, and that his friends and co-workers would have been in their cars, some eat something, drink a little bit of water or something, some close their eyes. He said it's very hard, strenuous work. And he said Jesus and his other colleagues who were not working on this shift are just beside themselves. They know how dangerous and precarious it can feel to be that high up on that bridge that he said feels like it's moving up and down all the time. But then he said they just can't imagine what it was like to be on that bridge. So we did speak to him and through an interpreter. He was very gracious. He was very emotional as well. But we want to share a little bit with you of what
Oops.
Jesus Campos.
Very emotional.
I am so, so bad. I feel so bad right now that this has happened. Mr. Campos told us three of the men were from Mexico and were related to each other. He said two were from Guatemala, the rest from Honduras and El Salvador. We asked him, what do you want people to know about your friends and about what happened?
No, pues, eran buenas personas y somos buenas personas, venimos.
They were good people. They were good workers, he said. They were working so that they could send money home to their countries.
Home to their countries. That's how I draw my conclusion that they're here illegally. If they were here legally, why wouldn't their names and their families be coming forward, the names be published? Why wouldn't we have more information about them? Why is all of this hush-hush?
Sí, pues demasiado, pues porque tenemos familia que los esperan en casa.
It's too much to bear right now because all the families are waiting at home for the phone calls. And you can't help, or I couldn't help but make the connection between the crew members on this road crew who were working on the bridge. And according to the...
Did you see that little smile that's coming up too as well?
Apostleship of the Seas director, the 22 seafarers who were on board the container ship, all of them, according to the people who knew them and talked to them, were doing it for their families so that they could send money back home.
Okay, I got to stop that, friends. I don't want to have a copyright strike. And also, I don't want to hear any more of that because that is the tugging on your heartstrings. Yes, these probably are dangerous jobs. They probably are, physically demanding. But didn't they take them willingly? Aren't they getting paid for those jobs? They're tugging on the heartstrings of the viewers to have empathy and compassion and to feel emotionally drawn into the story, to not do questioning like I am. I have a compassionate heart for the truth. And I am going to continue to dig for this. All right, friends, rather short video for you. I will leave a link for you in my Substack so that you can watch both of those on your own. Do some more digging. Email me, support@thehealthyamerican.org. Let me know what you think about this and why it's important that we do continue to dig for the truth. As you know, I'm marching this all the way to heaven, and I'm so grateful to have you on board with me. See you soon, everybody.